Spiritual Life Center. Transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are.
One heart.
One heart.
We greet you in the name of all that is good, all that is sacred, and in the warm and loving energy of this community, Spiritual Life Center. If you're joining us for the first time, we especially want to welcome you because we know that you are not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. Thank you for joining us on your unique path today, and we hope you enjoy this special message from this past Sunday's service.
Myth has it that there is an ancient curse that says, "May you live in interesting times." Now, we may laugh at that, but right now there are a lot of people who are taking this idea very seriously. Comments on InstaTweetBook are calling for the end of 2020 as if the year itself is responsible for our challenges. It is natural, I think, that we are wanting some sort of magical solutions and answers, because in the face of viruses and hurricanes and forest fires, we feel like we have lost control of our lives. We feel powerless. Thus, we talk about everything that is wrong with the world and make up ways to change and fix it. But here's the thing. The more we focus on something, the more we complain about it, the longer we get to keep it. Richard Bach makes this really clear in a scene from his book, Illusions. There are two characters in this book, Donald William Shimoda, a messiah who has resigned from being messiah. Richard, a barnstorming pilot who becomes his reluctant student. In the scene, Donald is teaching Richard how to dissolve clouds. The afternoon was quiet, an occasional passenger now and then. Time between I practiced vaporizing clouds. I've been a flight instructor, and I know that students always make easy things hard. I do know better, yet there was I, a student again, frowning fiercely at my cumulus clouds. I needed more teaching for once than practice. Shimoda was stretched out under the fleet's wing, pretending to be asleep. I kicked him softly on the arm, and he opened his eyes. "I can't do it," I said. "Yes, you can," he said, and closed his eyes again. "Don, I've tried. Just when I think something's happening, the cloud strikes back and goes poofing up bigger than ever." He sighed and sat up. "Pick me a cloud. An easy one, please." I chose the biggest, meanest cloud in the sky, 3,000 feet tall, bursting up white smoke from hell. "The one over the silo, yonder," I said. "The one that's going black now." He looked at me in silence. "Why is it you hate me?" "It's because I like you, Don, that I ask these things." I smiled. "You need challenge. If you'd rather, I could pick something smaller." He sighed again and turned back to the sky. "I'll try. Now, which one?" I looked, and the cloud, the monster with its million tons of rain, was gone. Just an ungainly blue sky hole where it had been. "Yike," I said quietly. "A job worth doing," he quoted. "No, much as I would like to accept the praise which you heap upon me, I must tell you in all honesty, it's easy." He pointed to a little puff of cloud overhead. "There, your turn. Ready? Go." I looked up at the wisp of a thing and looked back at me. I thought it gone. Thought an empty place where it was, poured visions of heat rays up at it, asked it to reappear somewhere else, and slowly, slowly, in 1, in 5, in 7 minutes, the cloud was at least gone. Other clouds got bigger. Mine went away. "You're not very fast, are you?" he said. "This was my first time. I'm just beginning. I'm up against the impossible. Well, the improbable. And all you can do is to think I wasn't very fast. I was brilliant, and you know it. Amazing. You were so attached to it, and yet it disappeared for you." "Attached? I was walking the cloud with everything I had. Fireballs, laser beams, fake Vacuums. Negative attachments, Richard. If you really want to remove a cloud from your life, you do not make a big production out of it. It's just relax and remove it from your thinking. That's all there is to it. That's all there is to it. Just let go of your negative attachment, and there you go. All done. And yeah, if that were easy, I'd be out of a job. If letting go of the negative attachment isn't that easy, how do we do it? We know that spiritual bypass doesn't work. We can't just say, okay, everything is hunky-dory and bury our feelings and frustrations. Yet here I am telling you that if we keep going on and on about the awfuls that are happening, we get to keep them. And then we wonder why we're so confused. So I decided that rather than telling you what to do, I would give you an example of how a group of people changed their thinking, show you what the process was in the hope that it will help you figure out your own process. Many of you know that I facilitate a Thursday morning discussion group. We call it spiritual exploration. For a long time, we talked about whatever topic came off the top of my head that morning. But at the beginning of 2018, I suggested that we take a look at the Lord's Prayer. Now, the response to that was really interesting because some people thought, what a great idea. And others, the ones who had come out of very traditional churches, weren't really sure. And you really didn't look like they were very interested. Now, keep in mind that I thought we would just spend a couple or 3 weeks looking at this prayer, talking about the language, and then move on. And my intention went no farther than that. So we started talking about the first line of the Lord's Prayer. And I put the first sentence on the board, and we started talking about what each word meant to us. Well, the board filled up pretty quickly, and by the end of the session, we discovered that we had created an entirely new sentence. So each week, we took on just one line of the prayer. And you know, the prayer isn't that long, but it took us 4 months to work through it because we ended up rewriting it. Now, we didn't rewrite the Lord's Prayer because there was anything wrong with it at all. We created a new version after long, deep discussions about the language and what it meant to each one of us. We had to agree on a word that worked for all of us, and then we had to agree on the entire sentence. And sometimes we had to defer to the next week so we could think up a certain phrase. And sometimes there were a couple of ones that we deferred to the very end. As we worked through this project, we became aware of our training and experiences with traditional religion and how that colored our perception of this simple but powerful prayer. At least 4 of our members came out of that deep traditional system where prayer was something you said over and over again as an obligation, and it ceased to have any meaning. And for some, it never had any meaning because it was just something that you did. I have to tell you that these 4 months were some of the most satisfying in my life, because as the group talked and listened and talked, people transformed right in front of me. I got to watch as eyes lit up when some new interpretation hit a person. I saw enthusiasm for connecting with the prayer. I saw joy where there had been duty. It was amazing, especially in the face of the hardened resistance and negativity that some people started with. So this makes a perfect way to show you how a perspective can be changed. So here we go. As I said, I would write a line of prayer on the board, and then we would substitute words that we felt conveyed the meaning in a more accessible way. Our Father who art in heaven. Now, this carried a lot of parental and God on a throne on a cloud energy, and it also implied an external God. So taking our unity principle that God is love and within us, the group decided that this is an inward prayer, and this gave us the opening line of, oh, our beloved within. Hallowed be thy name was pretty easy. They just went with more modern language and said, blessed be our name. Thy kingdom come. Well, since we decided that our beloved is within us, then the kingdom will come from us. So we have inner light shine forth. Thy will be done. Okay, this took a lot of discussion. What is the will of God? Do we have choices? Are we just supposed to sit back and not do anything? Once we motored through all the implications, we ended up with divine intention manifest. And I especially like this new line because it acknowledges that we are co-creators. In earth as it is in heaven, we decided that the external world was earth and our internal world is heaven. And we agreed that whatever goes on inside of us is what manifests in our lives. So we were very simple with within and without. Give us our daily bread. That gave us the idea of continued sustenance and support overall. So we chose, we are blessed always with awareness and abundance. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Okay, this was a big discussion, as you might expect, but the outcome was elegant and simple. We forgive others as we forgive ourselves. The idea of forgiving ourselves first was a breakthrough for many people in the group. Leave us not in temptation. Since we didn't even consider the older leave us in temptation, this one was pretty easy. We agreed that temptation is a fact of life, and most of us will go there. So we went simply with, we do not stay in temptation. Deliver us from evil. Well, naturally, we had a deep discussion about evil, but finally decided that in this case, we were talking about being overcome with fear. And so it became, we release ourselves from fear, we return to love. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, became another internal affirmation. We live in light, love, and glory. So when you say the whole prayer, this is what it sounds like. Our beloved within, blessed be our name. Inner light shine forth, divine intention manifest within and without. We are blessed always with awareness and abundance. We forgive ourselves and others. We do not stay in temptation. We release ourselves from fear. We return to love. We live in light, love, and glory. Amen. Now, the process of developing this take on the Lord's Prayer changed the way everyone in the group related not only to the prayer, but with their inner selves and with each other. You will notice that there is no me, I, or you. There is only we and our in this prayer. Because as this group opened to the activity of spirit, they realized that they were getting in touch with the concept of the one. The Lord's Prayer is and always has been an affirmative prayer. But because of the language and negative exposure to it, not everyone can see it that way. We aren't the first to revision it, and we won't be the last. In fact, when we get into faith in action, we will find that Eric Butterworth has his own version. The real message here is that the words we use are of utmost importance. When someone looked at the traditional version, they did not relate to it. When we chose new, more modern words, words that resonated, there was connection. Eyes lit up. Emma Curtis Hawkins would have us hold the high watch. To her, that meant keeping your eye on the higher vibrations, on your perception of God. It means not saying how awful and horrible things are. It means using words that acknowledge the challenges we face right now, but not wallowing and being so attached that you get to keep it forever. It doesn't mean ignoring the material world. It does mean raising your vibration to meet spirit. And when you are meeting spirit, you change and you, and when you are meeting spirit, you change and then your world changes. Reverend Cherie Larkin said something really profound to me just a few days ago. She said, I can't cure COVID. I can't fix the political divide. I can't put out the fires or stop hurricanes, I can't stop racism, but I can set my consciousness to the highest vibration, and that vibration will get to the next person catches it, and then the next person, until that high vibration makes its way into the collective consciousness, And the person who can find the cure, make peace, change perceptions, catch the wave, and does their part. It starts with you. It starts with a vibration of your thoughts and your words. Your words vibrate out into the ethers, and they never stop. So in a sense, what you say is forever. Each of us is a vibration that affects the collective consciousness. We are a vital part of that collective. Just as a grain of sand is a part of the beach, as a drop of water in the ocean. And tell me, please, which drop of water will the ocean not miss, and exactly which grain of sand can the shore do without? The answer is every drop is known and felt. Every grain of sand supports other grains of sand. It is known and felt. Every consciousness is known and felt. Your consciousness is important, especially now. The prayer we developed is a wonderful example of holding the high watch because we change the vibration to meet today's needs. It directs your thoughts upwards. It looks down and acknowledges the world and then looks right back up again. I encourage you to discover your own way of holding the high watch, of dissolving clouds, of changing your words, changing how you see this world. It may take practice. It may take having challenging conversations with yourself. It may cause you to drop an old belief system, and it may very well lead you to seeing the world in a completely different light. I invite you to hold the high watch as much as you can and to become that grain of sand that catches the light and sparkles for all the world to see. Blessings, and may the joys of the world go with you.
We are grateful for the opportunity to share with you today and hope you've taken something from this Sunday's message. If you'd like to hear more from Spiritual Life Center, be sure to click subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening from. You can find out more about our community on our website at www.slcworld.org. We look forward to being a part of your continued spiritual journey. Wherever you are, God is, and all is well.
Spiritual Life Center, transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are. One heart.